Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for coming. My wish for all of us is that, or my prayer is that each one of us will be blessed. You know, we live in a great country. We can come together like this. We can talk what is healthy for people without any interference. So with that, let's bow for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving us this morning. A morning that we are able to experience. A morning in which we are able to rehearse to ourselves the word that you so much want all of us to hear. Lord God, we know that sin had separated us from you. And yet, from the very beginning, your plan was to make it all be able to come back together again. And not only for some, but for all. And so, Lord God, this morning we also pray for those who are not well, those who are suffering, those who are depressed, those who are lonely. Lord, help us all to know that you will keep every promise that you have given us. May we see this time here on earth as a time where we are a witness to the world so that all may come in. For Lord God, we know that is your passion. We also pray for our Sunday school, the teachers, students. May you bless them. We pray for our governments, that we all might realize that we need you. And again, Lord, we just want to ask your blessing upon this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we'll start off with a couple of songs.
In the blue hymnal, page 508, "Now Thank We All Our God." Page 508.
Who is world rejoicing?
same hymnal, page 457, For the Beauty of the Earth, 457.
Thank you for those two songs. So much to be thankful for. Second song expressed things that I really hadn't thought about yet. You know, this is our Thanksgiving weekend, not only for the churches, but for the whole country, both believers and unbelievers. The object of Thanksgiving is to help people think about where everything is coming from. And as we sang in that song, brothers, sisters, human love. You know, I sometimes think when a baby is born, you know, there is an immediate love. It's something that God has established. It is something that God has given. And especially for the church, it should remind us of who God is and what he has done and is continuing to do to help, sustain, grow, and encourage. Thankfulness is much more than material wealth. In Philippians chapter 4, verses 11 to 13, the Apostle Paul talks about some of his needs. And he says, not that I speak in respect of want. He's talking about because of what he needs. It's not why he's saying this. For I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased or humbled, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. So real and fulfilling thankfulness cannot prevail if its real source is simply eternal or apart from the Lord. When we read in verse 12, everywhere and in all things I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry and both to abound and to suffer need, we know that as mature believers that this is a trait that is learned. And I think we only need to go back in our own experience to know how that is learned. There are things that we are not born with. It's something that we need to learn. And it does not depend on circumstances. In Romans 12, verse 12, we read, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant or steadfast in prayer. And because Jesus tells us that we will have tribulation or challenges, trials in our life, we as believers will need to prepare or learn. To walk through such circumstances, the Holy Spirit that indwells all believers is prepared to help and lead us with this teaching process if only we will open the door for Him to do that. In thankfulness, we are grateful for whatever we have, like food, shelter, safety, even families, health, and also our spiritual life, and with Jesus having secured our redemption. But ultimately, all is through the hands of God. And you know, and when we talk about health, we know that not all people are healthy. And yet there is hope. There is reason to be thankful because we have this promise of eternal life. Matthew 6:33 reads, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things. And if we would have read before a little bit, it's talking about clothing, shelter, food, the like, shall be added unto you. Jesus does not here devalue the necessities of life that we have, but He does undergird the value of seeking the true righteousness of God first, which is needed to have a proper attitude toward our material things. God has made all things, and all things that God has made are good. Even though some of the things that God has made we use for evil purposes. God is so in control that all that is in the world, but also so intricately or precisely involved in our life that we cannot put our finger on all that it is that we have today. Because God's devotion to His people is so multifaceted. We all know how different we all are from one another. And yet our loving Heavenly Father has been able to reach each of us through His wisdom that has no bounds. Who we are today and what we have and are able to have and who we are in Christ has to do with how we have responded to the offers and circumstances that God has handed out to us. And we need to ask ourselves, and were we willing or not willing to engage them? We know that sometimes we say no. I know I have said no. We read in John 6:44, no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. We need to know that where God has placed us and the circumstances that He has put in front of us were not done to dictate us, but to draw us and to sanctify us. You know, I sometimes wonder, you know, where would I be today if God would not have planted me with my parents, or if I would not have met my wife and had a relationship with her parents. And then, of course, you know, there's friends. It's another thing that we sang about. Who would I be? Who would you be? So God did not work to destroy us or to dictate us, but to draw us and to sanctify us, to make us, to grow us, to be a better people. And we ask for this very same thing when we sing the song, Nearer, My God, to Thee. And I just want to read that first verse, which says, Nearer, my God, to Thee, nearer to Thee, even though it be a cross that raiseth me. So even though our life will not be easy, God is raising me to His purpose. Still all my song shall be, Nearer, my God, to Thee. We all have to make choices in our life. And choices we do make as we respond to life, whether to live a life of integrity or not in our work or helping out or participating. And also, are we choosing to learn more and better of who God is? And I want to read Deuteronomy 30, verses 15 to 18. Deuteronomy 30, verses 15 to 18. And he's talking about when he chose Israel. And this is what he says, and this is what he says about that choosing. And he says, See, I have set before thee this day life and good and death and evil. And that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his... I think I must have written my... Because it's not the passage I wanted to read. The passage that I wanted to read has to do with where God says, you know, I did not choose you because there was something special about you. These are not the words that we read there, but, and he says, and I did not choose you because you were greater in number, but I chose you because that was my choice to do it. And so we see how God is talking about his people turning their heart away from him. He is not talking about that his people would openly deny his name, but rather if it would merely become a superficial act. So he has talked about, I have chosen you, but I did not choose you because you were above anyone else. And then he states how concerned he is about them staying true to him. Or would this being true to him only be end up being a superficial act? We know that even in the time of Jesus, they were still claiming God as their father. We read in John chapter 8, verses 41 and 42, where Jesus responds, John 8, where Jesus says to the scribes and Pharisees, Ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, We be not born of fornication, we have one Father, even God. And then Jesus says to them, If God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. So the object of thanksgiving should be to help remind ourselves of who God is and what he has done and is continuing to do to help and sustain and grow us. As we meditate on these things, we should be spurred in our love for God and our love for one another, all of which precipitate thankfulness. When we think on these lines, thanksgiving should spur the spirituality of us, his people, and also of us, his church, and be a true witness in our societies. So why is Thanksgiving something that God wants us to be part of? You know, when our relationship with God is right, Jesus will be preeminent and will receive the glory that is due him. And we all know that we cannot serve or please God unless we love one another. We read in 1 John 2, verse 11, "But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes." And to love one another does not mean that we condone or accept what is not acceptable to God. But what it does mean is, as we read in Romans 12, verses 20 and 21. Romans 12, 20 and 21. "Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." You know, when we love, we still have an obligation. Because God loved, he died for the sins of the whole world. You know, when someone wrongs us, we are not to retaliate in such a way where we position ourselves on the same level as the one who has acted against us. We know that Jesus, when he was being crucified, he called out to God and said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing." And that way the Lord was glorified, and people witnessed a testimony that has real power to convict. And in thanksgiving, we regard a higher power who is God alone. In loving our enemy, we say thank you to God for being able to help us, because we're willing to allow him to do it. Are we thankful to God that he has again provided a harvest? Are we thankful to God for forgiving? Are we thankful to God for giving us Jesus? Are we thankful for what God, through Scripture and life, wants to teach us? Thankfulness, like love and believing and being faithful, all have an obligation that go back, or that tie us back to God and his teaching. So now, before we continue, we want to go and bend a knee and thank God for all that he has left for us, that he has left us the scriptures that are so accessible in our country. You know, books that stores can have on their bookshelves to sell, and that we are able to read. You know, how thankful we should be how God has cared for his people. So with that, for those who are able, let us kneel in prayer. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Hymnal, page 18, "O to be like thee." Number 18, for those who are able, could we stand, please?
Thank you.
When we think or talk about Thanksgiving, we know that this is a commandment of God for us as believers to exercise in our everyday walk of life. In Thanksgiving, we acknowledge the promises that God has given us. One of which we find in John 14, verse 3. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. We know that if there would be no promises for God's people in the Bible, there would be times when we would not be able to be thankful. And we also read in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So this is not only good times that Scripture is talking about, but all times. And for us to be able to thank God in all things, we will have to have God involved in all aspects of our lives. Our hearts will be able to be grateful to God even when we face difficulties, because we know that He is with us and helping us to work toward honoring and glorifying God, if we will but have faith and obey Him. So with that, I've chosen to read from Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 to 17. Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 to 17. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. So God, through Scripture, encourages us with reminding us in what we have in Christ. And through that motivate us to live, and through that motivate us to a life of encouragement and thanksgiving. When we recall that Paul wrote this letter from a prison cell, his attitude of thanksgiving underscores how important God values thankfulness. In verse 12, we read that we are elected or chosen of God. When God chose Israel as His chosen people, we read God's word in Deuteronomy 7, verse 7. I think I got my verses a little bit mixed up, because here it is. In Deuteronomy 7, verse 7. The Lord did not set His love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people, for ye were few, for you were the fewest of all people. And if we would go back and also read Exodus 19, verses 5 and 6, we read there that their calling was conditional. It was upon being obedient, staying obedient to the covenant that God had made with them. And the Apostle Paul here addresses believers in Christ as elected, chosen, not because of who they or we are or what we have done, but as we read in Ephesians 1, verse 4. Ephesians 1, verse 4. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. You know, if God would save a sinner on the basis of their works, nobody would be saved. Scripture tells us that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Rather, it all comes through God's grace, his Son Jesus, that it might bring all glory to God. We take comfort in God's all-knowing that he will not, nor can he, make one single mistake when it comes to receiving his own. John 3:16 is a promise. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but everlasting life. You know, God is committed to every word that he has spoken. Also in 2 Timothy 2:19, we read, 2 Timothy 2:19, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. If we are Christians, then we will live for God according to his calling and standards. In Romans chapter 6, we read that God's grace does not free us to sin. Rather, it gives us the strength and a desire to gladly submit to his will and share the good news of the gospel with a lost world. Another position that we have in Christ is that we are called holy or blameless. Not because we are without mistake, but because we have trusted Christ, we have been born again and have become a new person. As believers in Christ, we are not our own. We have died to sin and belong completely to Christ. He has become our mediator. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. What? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You know, our scripture reading in verse 12 also tells us that God loves his people. God's love has engineered the greatest sacrifice that the world will ever see. And through it, Jesus was able to announce in Matthew 28, verse 18, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. As a believer in Christ grows in his love for God, he will grow in his desire to obey him and walk in the newness of life that he has in Christ. And the other positive that we have in Christ, we read in verses 13 and 14, and that is that all our sins have been forgiven us. How is God able to forgive us guilty people, us guilty sinners? And it's on account of the sacrifice of Christ on the cross. Scripture also tells us that God has forgiven us for Christ's sake, not for our own sake. Ephesians 4, verse 32. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You know, this shows us how far sin had removed us from God. And also that we had absolutely nothing on us to contribute anything for our own redemption. To be thankful is to be conscious of the benefits that we as believers in Christ have received. When the Apostle Paul writes here to the elected of God, "Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you also have been called in one body, and be ye thankful." Paul is asking his audience to put on the qualities of a new life and walk in that newness. In one body is all of us. Let the peace of God rule is allowing the peace of God to be our discernment to guide us. How can a follower of Jesus Christ know that he is in God's will? And one answer certainly is, do we have the peace of God living within us? And is that peace of God synonymous with God's word? Because if it won't be, we will have trouble with ourselves. This is why it is so important to pray for God's leading when we read and contemplate God's word, wanting to be honest with God. As we continue reading and studying God's word and learn it, God will also speak to us using those very same words as we seek to discern life. There's a huge advantage for believers to know Scripture, not because it makes us better than the next person or helps us to argue better, but because it can be a real roadmap in difficult times. It can be like the peace of God that will allow us to see the wisdom of God and employ it in our difficult times and give us that will help us to persevere in God's truth. Peace is Jesus' gift to all of his followers and can be held secure through the confession of sin. When we as followers of Christ lose that inner peace, we know that we are in some way offending or disobeying God, even if this is happening unintentionally. This is also when it is hard to be thankful in all things and to be encouraged in God's word. We have to say that in losing our inner peace is one way in which the Holy Spirit talks to us and wants to alert us that we wake up. We must also be aware of a false peace in our heart, and this will be revealed to us when we honestly and earnestly pray, when we surrender our will to God and sincerely search the Scriptures for his guiding hand. You know, it is even possible that correction might come from the relationships that we have with fellow believers. On the other hand, the peace in our heart alone need not always be the peace of God. Sometimes things might be going well, and it seems that God is blessing us, and it is what we want, but God always has his time. If we look at Jonah, we see how when God called him to go to Nineveh and call out their wickedness, Jonah very deliberately chose to walk away from it. He goes the other way. He finds a ship. He pays for his ticket, and he leaves. All seems to be going well. He goes down into the ship and is even able to fall asleep. Sometimes maybe we find ourselves saying, or hear someone else say, "I have peace about it." But have we also checked ourselves to make sure that we are in the context of God's word? Sometimes I believe we will speak it that way, but way down deep we know if it's actually true or not. However, when the time would be right, God would get a hold of Jonah again, and when that happened, Jonah confessed his wrongdoing. We know that when we read the rest of the Jonah story, Jonah could be very much about himself. And when Jonah acknowledged to these sailors that he feared the Lord, the God of heaven, we know that this is a confession that God wants to hear from all of his followers. So Jonah spoke it right. But his will to oblige God wasn't always there. When we fear God, we acknowledge that God will always be who he has always been. God cannot change. God has never and will also never be able to tolerate sin. That is why God has given us Jesus, so that our disobedience might have a way of being able to be put away. When Scripture admonishes us about being thankful, God should always be the primary source of that thankfulness. Even when we thank one another, it is still God who has divinely managed the circumstances that it could happen. In Mark chapter 10, we have a rich young ruler coming to Jesus and asking Jesus, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" So we have another instance here of a young man or a young ruler. And I thought maybe someone that really didn't want to let go of his being a ruler. And when Jesus mentioned the law of Moses to him, or the Ten Commandments, he wanted this young man to see his sinfulness because he coveted his money. Coveting is a real sin. It can cause someone to break all the other commandments. Coveting will interfere with giving God top priority. And it can also push us into being dishonest and defraud one another. And because the rich young ruler had asked Jesus what he must do to inherit eternal life, Jesus said to him, "Sell everything that you have, give to the poor, take up my cross and come and follow me." However, Jesus gave this answer, even Jesus' own disciples were taken aback and so said to Jesus, who then can be saved? But Jesus gives them this answer, "With men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible." You know, Jesus wanted him to be able to be thankful for what God had done through Jesus for the world and for him personally. So now as we look at the story of Jonah or at the story of the rich young ruler, how could they have been thankful to God? Jonah, when he tried running away from God's errands, or the rich young ruler when Jesus asked him to separate himself from his riches, but he walked away sorrowful. So how can we be honestly thankful? Except that we are faithful to God. And how can we let the peace of God rule in our hearts and be thankful? I believe we have the answer in the next two verses of our scripture reading. "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him." As we study the word of God, we will continually see that it magnifies the Lord Jesus Christ, our redemption. And we know that this already starts in Genesis 3:15, after that very first sin. So as we live for Jesus, we see how our whole life, how we speak, how we work, thanksgiving, all our responses to life, they all go hand in hand. If we take one away, it takes away from the other. So with that, let us close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you at the close of the service and thank you for being God, the God of all knowing, the God of all love, and the God that has, through that love and knowing, prepared for us a way in which we are able to come back to you, whereby we are able to see you for who you are. And so thank you for what it is that you have done for us people. Lord God, we know that we have so much to be grateful for. This fall, when we look around, we see the crops. We see the gardens. As we look even closer, we see families, the love that is possible, a love that you have instituted that is able to nourish us day by day. Lord God, we just want to praise you for that. And again, Lord, we ask that you bless this morning to each and every one of us. We pray this in Jesus' name, amen. And now for anything else that might be in your hearts, we want to pray, and for those who are able, let us kneel. May the Lord hear all our fervent, faithful prayers.
Let's take our blue hymnal, page 516. Count your blessings, 516.
Lord, you are the Lord.
Thank you, Jonathan. You know, when we listen to all of those announcements, we see how God is allowing for people to know His Word. So let's not forsake that privilege that God has given us. With that, I have nothing more to bring to you except to say thank you for coming, and let us bow for the benediction. Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. Thank you. You're now dismissed.